The last time we discussed the actions of Shimon ben Shetach and how he was Marzer HaTor LeYoshna, he revived Klal Yisrael, and also we discussed the three different takonis that Shimon ben Shetach made. One takana that we said was is that he made a takana that a klishuch is something made out of glass should be makabel tuma. The second takana that he made was that he made a rule, a law, that all children have to go to learn Torah. And we elaborated on this extensively, where we explained that this was really a planned system that he made in order to be Ma'azer HaTor LeYoshna. He saw the situation with Amei Ratzim that were drawn to the Tzdukim because they didn't learn Torah. And so therefore he decided that the only Eitzah was that he should make it so that everybody should learn Torah, and this would revive Klal Yisrael. And as we showed, it did. It had a tremendous effect on Klal Yisrael. And also the third thing was the fact that he made a takana b'negeya to the ksuba. And to be exact, in order to go through it exactly what the takana was, so this is a Gemara in Ksubis on Pei Beis Omid Beis, and the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Yehuda, in the beginning they used to write for a ksuba for a psula masayim la'almana of mono. A woman who was never married, so she would get a ksuba, meaning that if she would be divorced or if the husband would die, so she would be entitled to a ksuba for $200, and an almana would get $100. And the Gemara says, "Behayu maskinim, lehayu naisim noshim." And Rashi explains that women refused to get married to men. And Rashi says, why did they refuse to get married to men? Amru, because they said, l'kishayamus a yigaresh, because when the husband dies, or if he's going to divorce them, l'nimtza ligvayis klum, it will be impossible for them to be able to collect their ksuba. Shehayashim natzniyu mois shel yerusha. Because the yarshim, those who are getting the yerusha, so they are going to hide the money for the ksuba, and they'll never be able to collect the money from the ksuba. So Shimon ben Shetach made a takana, ad shebo Shimon ben Shetach, the tikin kol nechosev achrayim l'ksubasa. And he made a gzeira that all of the nechosim, all of a person's possessions, they were an achrayis for the ksuba. They are, there's a lien on all of the nechosim for the ksuba, and she would be able to go and to collect a ksuba. Now, exactly what Shimon ben Shetach did, what was there before, and what Shimon ben Shetach did, it's not for the subject right now, but what's important for us to see is that before Shimon ben Shetach made his takana, it seems that it was more difficult for a woman to be able to collect her ksuba. And therefore, the Gemara says that v'hayu maskinim v'hayu naisen nashim. They used to get old because they refused to get married. So this was a problem. A problem that being that the women weren't able to collect their ksuba, they weren't able to get their money, so they refused to get married. And that was corrected because of what Shimon ben Shetach did, that he made it so that they would be able to collect their money. That's the simple explanation of the Gemara. We understand that if the takana was made at this time, a takana is not a simple thing. And if a takana was made at this time, it must be that this issue was a problem. There was a problem, as the Gemara says, that the women refused to get married. What did they do before the time of Shimon ben Shetach? Well, we understand very well that even though it was more difficult for a woman to collect her ksuba, So, first of all, it probably was not likely that somebody would hide the money from her. People are honest people. If she's entitled to a ksuba, so people would pay up the ksuba. The Yorshim, whoever it was, would pay up the ksuba. Now, it seems that there was a situation that there was a lack of honesty found in Klal Yisrael, and so therefore there was a need to write up a ksuba. Or, what else we're seeing is that people were, if they wouldn't get their money, so they were afraid to get married. It would seem that for a woman to be divorced was something that came lightly to people. Because being that they knew that there was a way of being able to hide the money, if he would divorce the money, if he would divorce the woman, so there would be a way that he would not have to pay up the ksuba. So normally, who thinks along those lines? That what's going to be? The woman's going to think, well, what happens when I get divorced? I'm not going to be able to collect my ksuba. Who thinks about getting divorced? They're thinking about getting married, not thinking about getting divorced. So it would seem that at this point in time, it was not so simple. If a woman would not have the ability to be able to collect her ksuba, so there would be a very big likelihood that she would get divorced. And this obviously became a problem. Now, normally we would assume in Klal Yisrael there wouldn't be such a situation. A woman, when she gets married, is not thinking about the possibility of her getting divorced. And if she's not going to collect her money, therefore she's not going to get married. It must have been that it was a common thing to happen. So what happened all of a sudden in Klal Yisrael that this situation happened and it was necessary to make such a takon? Also, we said that one other thing that we saw that Shimon ben Shetach did was, we brought down the Gemara, that the Gemara says that he went, because of the story that happened, he found out that there were machashefes, that oivi yidoni that were found in Klal Yisrael, people that used to ask the Yasidus by using witchcraft, and it was found in Klal Yisrael. And Shimon ben Shetach went, and he killed out 80 of these machashefes, these women at one time. And we saw the Yerushalmi says that normally you're not allowed to kill out more than one at a time. The reason why he went and killed out 80 at a time was because Shor Tzrichalem, because it was a difficult situation. Now it was a very dire situation. So it would seem that this is, of course, not a common occurrence in Klal Yisrael, that there should be 80 machashefes at one time in Klal Yisrael. This was not a common occurrence. And therefore, harsh measures had to be taken in order to eradicate this system. Well, what's going on? What's going on in Klal Yisrael in the time of Shimon ben Shetach that all of a sudden we have these machashefes that appeared in Klal Yisrael? The other issue about the saying that klishuches is mekabel tuma, well, I guess we can understand this a little bit because we knew that by the Yevonim, the whole concept of tuma v'taira didn't apply at all. They had no understanding of tuma v'taira, as we always explain, because as far as they were concerned, there was no such thing as Tome and Tor. Everything was physical. So we understand that there was a need to be machazik, this Indian of Tyre. But when they get to these other issues, what was going on at this time? And obviously something was going on at this time that made it so that there were more machashefes, more witchcraft than ever. There was also a problem b'negeya to ksuba, b'negeya to sholom bayis, that it was necessary to make a takona for a ksuba. The other issue of chinuch, well, that we understood where that came from. We explained because of the amaratzim and because of the lack of tamina chacham, that these two issues still need to be explained. Now, I'd like to explain it as follows. After Shimon ben Shetach came back to Eretz Yisrael, as we said, that Janai agreed that he should come back to Eretz Yisrael, and he guaranteed his safety. He came back into Eretz Yisrael. So one of the first things that he did was he sent for Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was his Rebbe, and he was the Nasi before Shimon ben Shetach, and he right away sent for Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. And this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuv Zayin Amid Beis, and this actually doesn't appear, this Gemara that we're going to learn now doesn't appear in the standard Gemara that we have. And the reason for this is because it was taken out by the censors. The reason it was taken out by the censors is because this Gemara is going to discuss Yeshu HaNoitzi. And the censors who went through the Gemaras, they thought that the Yeshu HaNoitzi that we're discussing over here is the Yeshu HaNoitzi that they know, the father of Christianity. Now, this is certain that the Yeshu HaNoitzi we're discussing in this Gemara is not the founder of Christianity. And this is a point that is pointed out by Rabbi Chiel Mipariz in a debate that he had with the Galochim when he discussed these various Gemaras that we're going to talk about, that this can't be the Yeshu HaNoitzi who was the founder of Christianity for a few reasons. First of all, the founder of Christianity lived approximately 70 years before the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And that we know because based on the stories that are related in the New Testament, as far as who was the governor in Eretz Yisrael, the Roman governor under the rule of the Romans, the crucifixion that took place by the Romans, and so forth and so on. Well, this didn't take place at this time. This took place a little while before the Churban of the Second Beis HaMikdash. We are now discussing something that happened approximately 100 years before that, maybe even at least 100 years, maybe more than 100 years before that, in the time of Yanai HaMelech. And their story took place after the time of Hurdis. So it's the timing is not at all the same. There are no Romans here. We're talking about the Greeks. That's one thing. The second thing is that the whole story about how he was killed, the crucifixion and so forth and so on, so that's not at all what the Gemara relates over here. This is a whole different story about how this person was killed. There he was crucified by the Romans and crucified because of the fact that he was accused of creating a revolution. This is a different story altogether. So although the names are the same, it's very obvious that we're discussing a different person entirely. So, once again, we are now talking about the story that took place with Shimon ben Shetach, who came back to Eretz Yisrael. He sent for Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, and he told Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya that he should come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's safe, and he can now come back to Eretz Yisrael. So, I'm not going to go through too much of the Lashonis of the Gemara. We could find this, by the way, in some of the prints that we have now in the Gemara. You find this. They were put into the Gemara. There's also a sefer called Chisreinus Ashas, and over there also we have all of these Gemaras. So once again, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, that Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach sent to Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, after he got the message, it was a coded message, after he got the message, he started on his trip back, and on the way back, he stayed overnight in an inn, and the one who ran the inn, the woman who took care of the inn, went out of her way in order to make their stay to be as comfortable as possible. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya made a comment that how nice this person was, that they taking such good care of her. Yeshu HaNoitzri, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, who went along with Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, and again, as we mentioned a while ago, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, when the story took place with Yechon and Hyrcanus, so Yeshua ben Prachya ran away to Mitzrayim, And when he went to Mitzrayim, he took along his Talmidim with him. One of his Talmidim was Yeshua HaNitzri. When Yeshua HaNitzri, so he, once again, he made this comment about how nice this woman was. And Yeshua, when he heard what Rabbi Shua Prachya said, he says, what do you mean? Her eyes are ugly. Well, when Rabbi Yeshua heard what he said, so he was appalled about what Yeshua says. He says, you think that I meant her physical beauty when I said how nice she was? And he, as a result, he told him to go away, and he put him into Cheru. So it says that Yeshua HaNitzri returned many times to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya to ask him for forgiveness, but he refused to be meichel him. Finally, Yeshua said that he would make one more attempt to get Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya to be meichel him, and he came one more time to the Beis HaMedrash. And when he came there, he saw that Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was saying Kriya Shema. And he had his eyes covered, he was saying Kriya Shema. And Yeshua asked him for Mechila. He was, at the time Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, so his thoughts were someplace else. He didn't notice that Yeshua HaNitzri was standing next to him asking him for Mechila. So Yeshua thought that once again his Rebbe is not maskim to be meichel him, and he made a decision that that's it. This was his last time, and he decided that this is it. Hu savar mitchi dochi lei, and he thought that Yeshua HaNitzri was pushing him aside one more time, and therefore he decided that that's it. Then the Gemara says that he went, and Ozal Zokiv Levinosa, he set up a brick, and he bowed down to the brick. So in other words, he went, and he was even Avodah Zarah, exactly if it was just a brick, or whatever it was, but he bowed down to it. Then the Gemara says, that Rabbi Shua ben Prachya said to Yeshu, he said to him, I want you to do tshuva. He said, do tshuva. So Yeshu HaNitzri told him, Kach mikublani mimcho, you're telling me to do tshuva. We have a Kabbalah from you. You, my Rebbe, you once taught me. Kol hachayte yumachte yasarabim, he maspikim biyodei la'aseis tshuva. That a person who was chayto machte as a rabbim, he himself sins and he causes other people to sin. So Eima speaking the other last is tshuva, he can't do tshuva anymore. It's not possible for him to do tshuva. V'amamar, and Yeshu said that we learned, you taught us that, and therefore he says that there's no way that I could do tshuva anymore. So you're telling me that I should do tshuva. There's no way I could do tshuva anymore. Then the Gemara says, "For Amar Mar Yeshua HaNitzri Kishev VeHeses VeHidiach Es Yisrael." And the Gemara comes out at the end that Yeshua HaNitzri, he practiced witchcraft. He was a Meses, meaning that he caused other people to do Averis, other people to be Eved Avodah Zarah. VeHidiach Es Yisrael. And also, he was a Meses, he made Diach Es Yisrael, and he caused them, not only did he was here, Eved Avodah Zarah, but he also made it so that others should be Eved Avodah Zarah also. Now, we understand. Let's just try to understand this Gemara a little bit. He walked into the Beis Medrash, and his Rebbe was saying Kriya Shema. So let's try to envision for ourselves. You walk over to somebody, and the person is saying Kriya Shema, and you start talking to him. But can't you realize that the person is in the middle of saying Kriya Shema? I think it wouldn't be common that if you went over to a person, and the person was saying Kriya Shema, that you wouldn't be able to tell that he was saying Kriya Shema.
especially Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, you can imagine already when he was saying Kriya Shema, so he was the kavanah that he was having. So it must have been very obvious to everybody that was there that he was saying Kriya Shema. And if it wasn't obvious, so ask somebody, what's he doing? And he's saying Kriya Shema. Oh, okay, he's saying Kriya Shema. No, but that's not what happened. What happened was is that all of a sudden he Yeshua Netzri, he said, well, that's it. This is he doesn't want to forgive me, and that's it. He decided to go away. So it's very obvious that what Yeshua was doing was he was looking for an excuse. He was looking for a way out. And he went through the motions of asking for forgiveness, and this was the way out. That's it. You know, I asked, he didn't ask, and then if anybody else would have realized that he's saying Kriya Shema, but he had an excuse. No, I didn't realize it, and he doesn't like me, and shine. And that was it. And he was able to walk away. It's just like almost by, as we all know that this happens often, that a person, if he does something wrong, so he's always looking to blame somebody else. So he had a method of blaming his Rebbe. It's not my fault, it's my Rebbe's fault. So he pushed me aside. The next thing is, if his Rebbe told him that he should do tshuva, so why didn't he listen to his Rebbe? So he told his Rebbe, what do you mean? You yourself taught us that if you're a chaytu, machtes, or rabbin, so you can't do tshuva. So that's why I'm not doing tshuva. Well, why didn't he say to him, Rebbe, you tell me to do tshuva, and you taught me that a chaytu, machtes, or rabbin can't do tshuva. That's a chagut akasha, it's a stira, Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya, to Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya. Ask him for the answer. So he was saying to Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya, you're telling me to do tshuva? It's no, she told us I can't do tshuva. And shine, anybody else would have approached his Rebbe and he would have said, listen, go and explain to me how you're telling me to do tshuva if at another time I thought you said you can't do tshuva. So, what do we see from this? We see from this that this Yeshua Netzri, as we said, was just looking for an excuse. And he was looking for a way out. And he was also blaming his Rebbe for what was now going to take place, for what he wanted to do, for the wrong that he wanted to do, and he found a person to blame. And not only did he find a person to blame, but he was able to make it so, and to try to convince, whether he was convincing others or convincing himself, that his Rebbe was not a kind person. Here's somebody that's coming and begging for forgiveness, and if you would be a kind person, you would forgive him right away. You see that he's in pain, forgive him. And you're teaching us that there are times that a person can never be forgiven. So in other words, what he was telling Rabbi Shulam Prachi is that you represent a belief that's a very harsh belief. And that that this was not a belief that he was willing to follow. His belief was a belief that had to do with love and kindness. So right away, what we're seeing over here from this Gemara is that, once again, this Yeshua Netzri was a person who was looking for a way to fault the Chacham. Now, the truth is, the Gemara says that a Rebbe, the Gemara uses this as an example, that a Rebbe is supposed to be Smoil Mekarev, the Yemin Mekarev, and Smoil Merachik. And the Gemara says that you always have to be Mekarev your Talmud, and you should be careful, and don't do like Yeshua HaNoitzri, because Yeshua HaNoitzri, because of what Yeshua HaNoitzri did, so therefore he pushed them aside. Now, this is very clear that this is very clear when the Gemara was telling us that a person has to be that a person should not do what Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya did. So simply what the Gemara is telling us is don't set yourself up for a situation where a Talmud could use you as an excuse. Because perhaps if he won't find the excuse, so then he won't go astray. He won't do something that's wrong. But not that Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi was responsible for what Yeshu HaNoitzri did. And that, l'chayr, should be very simple. The issue that we have now is that Yeshu HaNoitzri, a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi, he now comes back from Mitzrayim, and after he comes back from Mitzrayim, so now he is over on these averis. He was a machashev, witchcraft, and he was over avodah zarah. Well, where does this come from? How did this come? Now the answer, pashtus, is, as we explained, the situation that was going on in Mitzrayim at that time, in Egypt at that time, and we explained in the lectures before that Egypt was the focal point of all of the different religions and beliefs that were found in the world, all came together in Mitzrayim, and amongst them were the religions of the Middle East that came, the Avodah Zarah that especially were found in a place like Mitzrayim, and that was the place where there was Kishuv. So this was what Yeshu HaNoitzri took out of Mitzrayim with him. But while he was there, so he picked up all of these different practices. He learned the Avodah Zarah. He learned how to be a Machashev. And one other thing, we have to remember that the Yeshua ben Prachi was angry at Yeshu HaNoitzri because he saw in him signs of immorality. That's not the way you talk. How do you talk about women? Especially for a Talmud or a Yeshua ben Prachi. And that was the original reason why he put him into Cherem, was because of the way that he spoke. It wasn't a simple thing to Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi at all. Obviously, it was lessons in immorality that this Yeshu picked up when he was in Mitzrayim, and now he was bringing all of this back into Eretz Yisrael. And so, now the Gemara is relating to us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi's going to Mitzrayim wasn't a simple situation. His coming back from Mitzrayim, after being stuck in Mitzrayim all these years, and now coming back from Mitzrayim, so he was bringing back a Talmud that was bringing in a terrible influence into Eretz Yisrael. We're now going to learn about a different Gemara. And once again, this other Gemara is also not found in the regular Shatran that we have. This is a Gemara that's also found in the Chitzreinus HaShas. And this is a Gemara that we have on that Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Once again, in the new prints of the Gemara, you have this put back into the Gemara. Now this is the Gemara that's found on that Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. The Eret HaPesach Tolu LeYeshu HaNoitzri. Once again, this is not the Yeshu HaNoitzri that is the father of Christianity, because this is the Yeshu HaNoitzri of the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi, and the whole circumstances are completely different. So this is a different person altogether. Erev Pesach, they hung up Yeshu HaNoitzri, and the Gemara says, Vakruz Yeti Lefonov, Memyen Kaidim Shehu Yeti Liyisokel. And for 40 days before, there was somebody was going out, and the announcer was going out that he's going to be Skila, that he's Mechuyev in Skila. Al, and the reason is Shekishef Vehesis Vehidiach Es Yisrael, because he was over on these averis that we discussed before, because of witchcraft, and he was a masis, and because he went and convinced other people to be over by the Zohar. And the announcement was made that anybody could come, anybody who has any defense to say for him, so should come and to say his defense. Nobody came to say anything, and he was killed. So the Gemara says, Ule es sakasha, so why are we bothering to defend his actions? If we're going to say that he was a masis, So the halacha is benageya to a meisus. The Torah says that you're not mechuyev benageya to a meisus. You're not mechuyev to have somebody that you come to defend. So the Gemara says.
So once in the Gemara says that when it comes to a meisus, so you're not mechuyev to look for a schus for a meisus, because it says in the Torah, "Sachmo v'leit techas olav." So the Gemara says, "Shani Yeshu." The reason that over here it was different was because Yeshu was different. The korev l'malchus hava. That the reason was because Yeshu was a korev l'malchus. Somehow he was a person who was close to the Malchus. He had to do with the Malchus, and he was close to the king, and because he was close to the king, so therefore he was, they had to look to make sure, to find out if somebody wants to be Melamed Zchus for. Now, when we say that he was a Kar of the Malchus, which Malchus are we talking about? So, obviously, we're talking about the Malchus of Yanai, because that was the Malchus that was found then. There weren't any Romans then in Eretz Yisrael. The one that was in control in Eretz Yisrael at that time was Yanai. So this Yeshu had to do with Yanai, and had to do with the Mesiavnim, had to do with Yanai's people, and because he was Korav Malchus, now the Mesiavnim weren't Avdei Avodah Zarah, they weren't Mechashvim necessarily. So that's the reason why he was Mechuyiv Misa, and not all of the Mishyavnim were Mechuyiv Misa, but he was friendly with the Mishyavnim. What the Gemara is saying, he was friendly with the Tzedukim. So, once again, we have another Gemara, that the Gemara tells us very clearly, that this Yeshu HaNoitzri brought into Eretz Yisrael, this Inyan of Kishuv, he was a Mesis Umeidiyach. As we explained, he was Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, was a person that originally faulted him, because he saw in him signs of immorality, and this is what he brought into Eretz Yisrael. And at the time that he was brought to be killed, the Gemara says that he was Korav l'Malchus. He was Korav to the house of Yanai. That was the Malchus. The Malchus was Yanai. So, also, as we're going through this Gemara, we can just say that the next Gemara, another thing that we learn in the next Gemara, the Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanan Chamisha Talmidim Hoyilo L'Yeshu HaNoitzri. The Yeshu HaNoitzri had five students, and the Gemara says who the five students were. So, and the Gemara goes on like this. The Gemara says, well, I'm not going to go through the Gemara. The Gemara says that they went to kill each one of his students. And when they went, for instance, they had one student that they wanted to kill. His name was Masya Yehoreg, Mosa Yehoreg. So this Mosai said to him that you can't kill me, because it says in the Pasuk, Mosai Ovei Ve'ere Pnei Elokim, that Mosai, his name was Mosai, so he said, Mosai is going to see Pnei Elokim. Amulai, no, it's not true. Mosai Yehoreg, we can't kill Mosai. Why? The Siv, Mosai Yomus Ve'ovat Shemai. Sorry, and that's the same happened with the next student and the next student. Each one said, you can't kill me, because they brought a pasuk that from this pasuk it shows you can't kill me. And then they went and they said, no, we can't kill you. Now, of course, we understand that this pasuk that he brought, his name was Mosai, and the pasuk said Mosai, so this is a ridiculous taina that he was bringing. So exactly what was going on in this Gemara. So Rashi says, and the Rashi again is also in the Chesreinus Hashas, Rashi says, V'tshuva ba'almahu, this is just an excuse, V'pneihu umais, shekarav l'malchus hayim, because once again, these people were karav l'malchus, v'yitzichim l'hoshiv al kol rayah shel hevel shelahem. The rayas that he brought, Rashi says these were rayas shel hevel. They're foolish rayas that were given,
But they were riots. And for a person like Yanai, the core of the Malchus, for a person like Yanai, he was uneducated, so he didn't know any better. So he says, hey, they're bringing a riot. So you have to answer to his riots. So we bring the same foolish riots back. That's what Rashi is telling us. That these people, they weren't people that made any sense. It's not like they were able to say something that was sensible, but they said they used different statements of psukim, and they twisted the meaning of the psukim in order to defend themselves, in order to bring some backing for themselves. And of course, it was ridiculous what they were doing. So here we have another insight into what this Yeshu, this particular Yeshu HaNotzi was all about. His students were foolish people who had no understanding in learning, and used the Torah HaKadosha, twisting it in such a way to explain what they were up to. So this is what this Yeshu HaNotzi is all about. Now the truth is that although the Gemara is telling us that the reason that this Yeshu HaNotzi was killed was because he was a Mesis, a Mediach, and he was a Machashev, but we have another Gemara, and it would seem that in the other Gemara it tells us about it tells us this other Prat Binegeya to Yeshu HaNotzi that we mentioned before, that he was a Mali al Divrei Chacham. And this is the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Masechtas Gittin. The Gemara starts in Mimvav and Mibayis, goes from the Mzayin Amud Aleph. And this, the Gemara has to do with Unkelus Hager. Unkelus Hager wanted to be Megayer, and he called together three famous people who aren't at all fans of Klal Yisrael. And I guess he was looking at the opposition, and he came to the opposition, and then he knew him, and he's going to ask Yehid, should he be Megayer? Of course he should be Megayer. So he decided to go to the opposition and ask the opposition if he should be Megayer. So he called up Titus HaRosha, his uncle Titus HaRosha, and Titus told him that it's too difficult to be a Yehid. And then he gave him his advice. And then afterwards he called up Bilam HaRosha, and Bilam HaRosha gave him his advice. It's not important now for our subject. And then afterwards he said, the Gemara says that he called up Ozel Aske Benegida Lepeshe Yisrael. He went and he called up the third one that he called up that already had died. He called up to Peshe Yisrael, and in the other, if you look in the in those who have the Svarim Acherim, and again, this comes out of the Chasreinus Hashas, so it was Yeshu HaNotzi. He called up to Yeshu HaNotzi. And he said to him, "My Choshevah Hu Alma, you're already in the next world. Who's Choshev in the next world? Amalei Yisrael." So he said to him, he asked him, should I be Megayer? And Yeshu HaNotzi told him that he should be Megayer. So then afterwards the Gemara says, and basically more or less this is what the Gemara means, the Gemara says that he asked him, what kind of a din do you go through in Gehenna? What is your punishment? Amalei b'tzayer sachas, that he has to roast in tzayer sachas. The Omamar called Hamalig al Dibre Chachomim need them Betzerer Reisachas. Because we learned that a person who makes fun of Dibre Chachomim, so his judgment will be, his punishment will be, that he will have to roast in Tzerer Reisachas. That's going to be his punishment. So, we see over here in this Gemara that the Chet, that one of the Chatoim of this person, this Yeshu HaNotzi, was that he was a Malig al Divrei Chachamim. And not only that, but it would seem that this was his biggest chet, the fact that he was a Malig al Divrei Chachamim. In the other Gemaras, it would seem that the biggest chet that he had was that he was a Mesis Umeidiyach and that he was a Mechashiv. Here in the Gemara, it's Mashma, that the chet was that he was a Malig al Divrei Chachamim. Now, the truth is that this is not a stira. These two things are not a stira. Because when we talk about in Bein Adam, when we talk about Bezen Shalmata, when Bezen Shalmata punishes a person, he punishes a person for the Maisa that he did. Which action did he do? So the most homedic action that he did, the action that was Mechayiv Hemisa, was the act of Kishuv and Avodah Zarah. But when it comes in Bezen Shalmailo, when they punish a person, so there they go into the source of the chet. What drove the person? What's deep in the person's heart that drives the person to do the act that he does? And over here the Gemara says is that what drove him to this, the core, the rotten core that was in him, was Malig al Divrei Chachom. It was the chasaron of Kovid Chachom. And this chasaron of Kovid Chachom is what drove him in order to do all of the other aveiros. We can have an example of this. For instance, the Gemara tells us, Binageya to Esav Harosha, that when he said the pasuk Lama li zeh abachayra, so Oisa Hayayim Chata Oisa Rosha Heicha Tois. He was a kofer beikar, and he was a balavusosi. He was mezana with somebody else. He did all kinds of terrible. He was a kofer beikar. He did all kinds of terrible things. That's five chatoim he was over on that day. Yet in the Torah, when it mentions the chet that he did, so the chet was that he was mavaza the bechira, lama lizeh bechira. The chet that's mentioned openly in the Torah is the chet of lama lizeh bechira. The fact that he was mavaza the kedusha, the fact that he was mavaza the bechira. The Torah doesn't mention openly the other chatoim that he did. The other chatoim are just mentioned beremiza. And this, it would seem, is not small, but the smallest of the chatoim. The chatoim of being a kofer beikar and being a reitzeach and being a mezana. So that would seem as much more chomer, yet it's not the one that's mentioned. And the answer is because when the Torah tells us what he did, the Torah is telling us the source, the shayrish, of all of the chatoim that he did. And the shayrish of the chatoim that he did was because he didn't have kovid for the avodah, for avodas Hashem. And because he didn't have kovid for avodas Hashem, so that drove him, because he was lacking in kovid for kedusha, kovid for avodas Hashem, as a result of this, he was over on the hei chatoim. So it could very well be that this chet of Lama Lizeh Abachayra, being the Baza, the Avoida, is the smallest amongst all of the Chatoim that he did, but it was the deepest. And not only was it the deepest, it was the root and the source of all of the other Chatoim that he did. This is what we're learning in Negeya to Yeshua Naitri also. He was a Malik al Divrei Chachamim. He didn't have proper covet for the Chachamim. And as we learn the Gemara ben Egeh to Rabbi Shua ben Prachia, that this is really what happened. He was looking for ways and means and somehow convincing himself and ultimately convincing others that Rabbi Shua ben Prachia wasn't a kind person, and he didn't have the proper harocha, the proper understanding for and the proper feeling for Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia and for all of the other chatoim. And as a result of this, he was over on these other major chatoim. Once again, where did this come from? Where did this Yeshua Naisi pick this up from? After all, he was taken as a Talmud of Rabbi Shua ben Prachia. Rabbi Shua, to become a Talmud of Rabbi Shua ben Prachia, he could not have been just a simple person. He obviously must have been, at the time when he became a Talmud, he must have been a somebody that's worthy to be a Talmud. So obviously, and this came after Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia came back from Mitzrayim, and he was many years in Mitzrayim. And obviously, what we see here is that as a result of his being in Mitzrayim, and as we explained, that the Chachamim said that if a person goes Chutz La'aretz, so there's Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, because the Chachamim didn't want the Eden to go into Chutz-Lartz, especially not into Mitzrayim, because of the influence that would come from there. And Rabbi Shulam Aprachi never would have gone into Mitzrayim. He went because of what Yanei HaMelech, because of Yechon Hurkanis, because he had to run away from Yechon Hurkanis, so therefore he had to go to Mitzrayim. And he took his Talmidim with him. But as a result of that Maisa that happened with Yechon Hurkanis, he brought back this Talmud that was a terrible Balmum. He brought back this Talmud that was under the influence of all that was going on in Mitzrayim. He was a Malig al Dibrei Chachamim, Mevazeh Dibrei Chachamim. As a result of that, he was an Eved Avodah Zarah, he was a Mechashev, and also we're learning is that he was a Kar of Lamalchus. He had to do with Beis Eishel, Yanei HaMelech, and so now he became a major influence of the people that were living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Just want to add on one more thing, that there is an Avar Venel that says that this Yeshu HaNoitzri, the Shoresh of the Neshama of Yeshu HaNoitzri, is Esav HaRasha. It's the same letters. Yeshu and Esav are the same letters. And therefore this is when we're not talking about, so to say, a simple Rasha. We're talking about Rasha, like the Gemara in Gittin puts him into the same caliber as Titus HaRasha and Bilam HaRasha. So we're talking about another person that was on in the same caliber of these Rishonim that we're discussing. And this now became a new influence that came in to Eretz Yisrael. We now also can understand the need for this takana that Shimon ben Shetach made in order with Benegeya to the Ksuba. Because now that there was this new sense of immorality that was brought in to Eretz Yisrael, this tremendous lack of tzniyas that came into Eretz Yisrael, people who are evaluating strange women, Yeshe, Nishen, quite something that never took place in Klal Yisrael before. This became a tremendous detriment in all of Shalom Bayis, and it's not just, I mean, it's immorality. It made it so that the Kedushas HaBayis that was the normal situation in Klal Yisrael, so now was in tremendous sakana. And therefore you had to use literally artificial methods, financial methods, language that these people understood in order to see to it to keep families together. Also, it's important that we understand that that before the birth of the Christianity that we know of today, there was a group of people who were accused of being Christians. And what I mean to say is that going way back, there were different factions within Christianity itself. There is the Christianity that we are familiar with today, but there were also other factions who claimed to be Christians. And these people who claimed to be, there were many different factions that claimed to be Christians, and today there's very strong evidence to this fact, that at the time of the birth of Christianity, so there were many different factions involved in different shitas, so to say, in Christianity. And there was one group of Christians that brought a black eye on the Christian religion, so to say. They were an embarrassment to the other Christians, and these were a group of people who were known as the Gnostics. Now, Gnosticism is something that began before the Christianity that we know of today began. A little bit to understand, and we're not going to go into it too much, what the Gnostics were all about. But just what we will say is that the Gnostics were people that literally were Avdei Avodah Zarah. It was literally Avodah Zarah. They believed in more than one Koyach. And there was one koyach that created the world, and that koyach was a koyach that was Ra, and therefore there was a reason to keep Torah mitzvahs because of the koyach that was Ra. But then there's another koyach, and the koyach is Toiv, and they were the ones that followed this other koyach, and they said that there are people that have within them certain sparks that come from this other power that's up in heaven, and those people, they're called Gnostics because they're looking for a certain amount of wisdom, and there's different sparks in this one and sparks in that one and this kind of spark and that kind of spark. We're not going to at all go into it because this is literally Avodah Zarah, as the plain Pashut Avodah Zarah, like we're all familiar with. So this was a system of Avodah Zarah. And these not so these Gnostics that we're talking about, so then within the Gnostics themselves there were different branches. There were those who felt that it's proper for a person to abuse the physical world precious from the physical world. And there were people like that. And Gans and Parish from the physical world, because the physical world is Dach Garnish. We spoke about this a little bit in the past. The physical world is Dach Garnish. Everything is Dach, the spiritual world. So, Ibazoi, they were Parish from all kinds of Anoas Olam Hazeh. There were other Gnostics who said that because the Guf and the Neshama are two separate things. Those the person who had within him these sparks, so they are two different entities. So they held Beshita that each one of them is allowed to go about doing his own thing. That was they come from two different worlds, and they have different needs, and they could, each one can go about doing his own business, and what one does is not going to affect the other. This brought about that they found for themselves sort of a heter for them to be in Gansin Shokua into Taivis Oilam Hazeh. And this became an issue even again, as we mentioned, that when the Christians were accused of this, of immorality. And the Christians themselves pointed a finger at the Gnostics, and they said, no, this is not the Christians that are doing this. But these are these Gnostics that are doing this. There are those even that created a so-called shita that a person has to do a sin in order to drive out a sin. So you have to be able to do, you know, to create down into the blotter. And the reason for this is because that's the way that you're going to purify the sin. So they went to do all different kinds of sins, as I and trying to convince themselves that this is the right way of doing things. And again, this is all included in this Gnostic religion. Maybe one day we'll talk about this, that these Gnostics didn't go away. These Gnostics appeared from time to time. In different types of different movements that existed up until a couple of hundred years ago. Not very popular movements, of course they were minor movements, so to say, but they did exist at different times. What we need to understand is that a lot of this existed in Eretz Yisrael at that time. And as we're explaining, it got into Eretz Yisrael through the Christians, and it could very well be that it got in through the Christians through this Yeshu HaNoitzi who brought it in from Egypt, brought it in into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe there were others also that brought it into Eretz Yisrael. But we understand why the Gemara calls it Avodah Zarah. It was plain simply Avodah Zarah. And why the Gemara calls it Bing B'chashef, because they were Taka Isaac in Kishuv. This is what they did. They were Isaac and Kishuv. These are people that used to meet in the catacombs. The catacombs were the places where they used to bury people. Underneath, and then under the ground, they used to bury people. And they used to get together there. And they were accused. These people, once again, they were accused by the Goyim they were accused, or by others they were accused, that people that were, that the reason that they used to meet by the catacombs, by these graves, was because they used to talk to the dead people, and they were involved with the dead people. That was what these Gnostics were all about. So we see literally, even in the secular history that deals with Christianity at that time, so we see that there was such an issue. There was people that were living in Eretz Yisrael that developed this so-called, they called it a Shita, but to us it wasn't a Shita. To us it was just plain and simply Avodah Zarah, this great Avodah Zarah, Dasus Gevein Kishuv, and this was an influence that was brought into Eretz Yisrael at that time. And as we see, the Gemara tells us that the main one that brought it into Eretz Yisrael, this Yeshua Noitzri, so because of what he did, and because he was a Mesis Umeidiach, of course he had influence on others. Not only he himself did it, but he was a Mesis Umeidiach, meaning that he had influence on others. And as we said, he also was a Karv Lamalchus, so he was a person that somehow was able to get around. I think that the reason perhaps that we don't have more information about this is because the censors, thinking that this was the Yeshua HaNoitzri, that is the founder of their religion, so they thought this was all the same, and they took out a lot of the Gemaras, so we don't have information from the Gemaras, too much information from the Gemaras, because who knows what else is missing, and you don't have too much of this in the secular books, because these were people that claimed to have a Christian philosophy. So the Christians, in order to stamp out their philosophy, so they also erased it. So the Christians themselves also erased the different books that these people had. And this has become more and more apparent in the excavations that they're making right now, where they are digging up some of these different books that bring evidence to the fact that in this time in Eretz Yisrael there existed these different sects of people that were living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So there definitely was such a kayak, such an undercurrent, and we could well understand, once again, going back to the reason for the takana, for the ksuba, because of the sense of immorality that was going on in the influence, so to say, that there was in Eretz Yisrael at that time, that people that were living immoral lives, and so therefore they needed this type of a method in order to keep people, in order to keep Shalom Bayis, and Ochem Bey, that this is what was holding in their Shalom Bayis. But the fact that they made a takana proves to us that it wasn't just an isolated case, but it was something that was found in many different parts in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that, as we're explaining, that we now know that, and we know this from the Gemara also, that this Yeshua Naitzi was an Oyver Avodah Zarah, and that he was a Mechashev. And once again, and this we're coming back to, we went to explain that Shimon ben Shetach went and he killed out these Machashefes, 80 Machashefes. And we said, and the Gemara says, the Yishalmi says, that the Shoah's Tricholim, the reason that he did it was because it was an emergency situation, and that's the reason why he did it. So it would seem that Kishuv was found, Rachman al-Slan, in Eretz Yisrael, 80 Machashefes. This is outrageous. 80 Machashefes were found in Eretz Yisrael. How did they get into Eretz Yisrael? And this is in the time of Shimon ben Shetach. In other words, this is the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. If this is Shimon ben Shetach, we're talking about a couple of years after Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya came back into Eretz Yisrael. And when he came back into Eretz Yisrael, he came along with his Talmud, his Yeshua Noitzri, once again, who we just finished explaining, brought all of this influence into Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yeshua ben, sort of Shimon ben Shetach, had to do something to stop this influence, b'negeya to the Mechashev. One thing they did was that they killed Yeshua Naitzri. But the other thing that they did was, he saw to it that these Mechashvim, these women that were Mechashvim, they should be killed in order to eradicate this influence that was in Eretz Yisrael. What we're seeing here is the tremendous battle that Shimon ben Shetach had to battle in order to keep Klal Yisrael together. We now have a situation, Stukim, Baisusim, Amaratzim, Misyavnim, and now we have a new set of people, literally, Oivdei Avodah Zarah, Machashefim, and the different types of people that were going through Eretz Yisrael, the different factions of people that were found in Mitzrayim, and as we explained many before, all the different factions that were in Mitzrayim and that were vying for positions in Mitzrayim. So now these factions came into Eretz Yisrael also, and they became factors in Eretz Yisrael. Quite a job that was necessary for the Chachamim that were living in Eretz Yisrael to do in order to keep Klal Yisrael together. And, as we explained before, this is all of the takonis that they made, the learning of Torah Shebaal Peh, the different takonis of being prayers from them, and we'll learn about different things that happened. All of this is what kept Klal Yisrael going while they were in Eretz Yisrael, and these are the same methods that are being used today as we go through Golos.